play really bad guitar. It's pretty pathetic, actually, the amount of, for how many years I've been trying to play it, but I love it. I really like Liverpool Football Club ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I've followed them, so if you're ever looking for me on a Saturday or Sunday, that's in the mornings, that's probably what I'm doing. I'm watching it with my boys. I love getting outside. I love hiking. I just love being outdoors. I love fly fishing, actually. I really enjoy it.
That was part of the promotional/dating profile video that the city of Pensacola did for Lucky, Tim Kinsler, retired captain from the U.S. Navy, a dear friend, somebody I'm very proud to say I know relatively well. And he joins us now by phone primarily because he's about to be hired as the city of Pensacola administrator, city manager for city of Pensacola. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. It's great to be here with you.
I think this is the first time we've had you on the air, not for lack of trying, okay, since you left being the commanding officer at AS Pensacola. I think that's correct. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
All right, very good. So, okay, I want to dig in just a teeny tiny little bit. Guitar playing badly? Fine. Fly fishing, hang outdoors? Fine. Liverpool? Did you live in Liverpool?
No, so it's when I was a kid.
Wait. So you chose Liverpool?
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
That's like choosing to be. It's like choosing to be a Phillies fan. I mean.
Oh, stop it!
No, a guy that I worked with in England, a guy who was our cook at the bar I worked with, he was, I mean, if you know a Liverpool fan, you will immediately know they're a Liverpool fan, and you can never forget that they were a Liverpool fan. That's like the most defining feature of their personality, right?
Yeah, well, because they'll tell you.
You're right.
That's right, yeah.
So you adopted them?
It's like, somebody told me this about a pair of cowboy boots. Cowboy boots choose you. You don't choose them. And it's the same with football clubs. They choose you. You don't choose them.
All right. Fair enough. I got you. Now, just for people who may not know, because we're going to talk about your job as a city, but there's a lot about you that maybe people do not know. And even I sometimes forget, and I apologize that I forget. You are a naturalized U.S. citizen, or you were born in the U.S.? I can't remember.
I was born in Griffith Park Hospital in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
In California.
And,
yes.
But you lived a long time in Ireland, and not the UK part of Ireland, not the North, but the Republic of Ireland, the South, right?
That's right. My parents were both Irish, and they met in Los Angeles. My dad had a pub there, and after they were born, they moved back to Ireland, and then I was about a year old.
Okay, and you lived there what through? How long did you live there before you came back to the U.S.?
High school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, your parents are Irish, and he ran a pub, and that's how they met in the U.S. before they went back to Ireland. That's a great Irish story, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. my dad was in the Merchant Marine for years. He ran away from home when he was 15. He was homeless on the streets of Los Angeles. And then within a year of being there, he owned his own pub. He used to play golf with Jimmy Bishop, Peter Lawford, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. Used to drink every now and again with Frank Sinatra. It was just a different time back in Los Angeles back then.
Holy smokes, man. This is why I love talking to you and asking you sort of the unusual question, because there's always some next story, like some additional story that I never would have imagined. That's amazing. So that's what you grew up around.
So when I was a baby, yeah, there's pictures of me with all those guys out in the golf course.
Okay, so you don't have the memory. You just have the pictures because they moved back to Ireland when you were one. Okay,
no.
I got it. Okay, very good.
That's right, yeah.
And just for kind of context and background, you're a Mustang, right? You enlisted and then you went to the academy later in the Navy, right?
I did. I enlisted because I wanted to go to college, and I couldn't afford to go to college. So I joined up with the intent of trying to get money for college. And I was in submarines for 3 years and then got accepted to the Naval Academy.
And then you went on to fly helicopters, jets? I always forget.
I did. I went on to fly helicopters, the H-46.
That's
in search and rescue.
H-46 is like, that's a That's a Sea Knight. That's a Chinook. What is that? I can't remember.
That's a Sea Knight.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Very good. That's so two rotors. Okay. So you were here. You came through Pensacola. You went to Whiting. And then you flew H-46 to Sea Rescue. Is that right? Okay.
That's right. Yeah, there's one in the museum that is actually in my logbook.
Yeah, it's a great aircraft. And then you eventually wound up working in the White House as well, right? I mean, like, you had a long career, right? Before NAS Pensacola.
I did. Yeah, it was a fun career. Got to do a lot of really cool things. And I didn't work in the White House. I was in the Pentagon. But I was the White House liaison for the Secretary of the Navy.
That's... Wow. Okay. All the things I think are what I think of as background. Okay. And then, of course, at NAS Pensacola, you were the commanding officer. You shepherded the base through three massive events, as you and I have talked about many times, the terrorist attack, COVID-19, which also both of those included the base closure, and Hurricane Sally, which dealt, $400 or $500 million worth of damage to an already not great, well-maintained facility. So you've dealt with a lot of things. And I know that probably 80% of the people that are listening to me right now think I'm mispronouncing your name. but the story is, as I recall, you will live with either pronunciation, but it's your dad's way of saying your name, Kinsella, instead of Kinsella. Is that right?
That's right. Because in Ireland, people say Kinsella. And then in America, they say Kinsella. So my mother says, let's say it the American way. And my dad says, no, we're Irish. Let's say it the Irish way.
Well, I've always taken the view that I will say it the way a person wants it to be said, and, you know, hence the way I say it. So, thinking about the future a little bit, how did this happen? You know, I picture you in D.C. sitting around one day talking, and just somebody came up with the idea, and that's how this got hatched, as you becoming the city manager. Is that about it?
So if I could go back to when I was chair of the transition committee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I told DC, I would love to be your chief of staff. I would love to go through this with you and help you to enact your vision. But I'm very happy at the university, and I had an obligation to the university to set up the Center for Leadership. And now that the center is set up, it's thriving, it's doing well. And it was just a conversation between us. He had a need, he hadn't filled that need. And I honestly felt a calling to do it. You know, it's like almost like a civic duty. Myself and Jen, we promised that when we settled here in Pensacola that we would do our best to try and make a positive difference in the community. And this was a great opportunity to do that, to try and shape the future of the community where my children live.
I loved the expression that I had never thought about it this way, but in your, again, at the press conference, you made the comment that this is how you serve the city, by helping empower and enact the vision of the leader that they collectively elected. I mean, I've never heard a more elegant statement of representative democracy than that. You know, that your job is to, if you want to serve the city, you serve the city by serving the city's elected representative that they put in power to shape the future. I mean, that's just, it's a brilliant expression of it. So the question is, what is the job? I mean, DC is going to be the mayor, but what will you do? Like, I really have, I mean, I generally understand, but for example, do the department heads report to you? Do they report to the mayor? Do they report to the mayor through you? Like, what is the actual architecture of your authority as city manager?
So if you think of it this way, there's the mayor, then there's me, and then essentially everybody else. So the all departments, the airport, the police department, the fire department, all those, they eventually, through deputy administrators, sort of flow up through me.
So you really are the top. You're the top of the chart. Well, I mean, you're the second of the top of the chart, but the chart flows through you.
Yeah. Essentially, there's the city attorney that has a sort of dotted line to the mayor, and then the city clerk that has a dotted line straight to the mayor. But if you think of it as me, as I'm looking inward at the city to make sure that the city operates effectively and that I enact the mayor's vision. And then the mayor, and that allows the mayor to look outwards and then think long term, think strategically and big thoughts, and listen to the citizens and do the things that a mayor is supposed to do, so he's not mired in the day to day running of the city.
Okay. So this actually will free him up from having to have that, micromanagement, maybe not the right word, but too much of his fingers in all of the pies to make sure that things are being done right. you do that, or the city manager does that, so that he can focus on big picture, building relationships, setting direction, and, you know, basically charting out the path while you drive the boat.
Absolutely. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, that's a thing that you're familiar with, obviously, as doing, you know, what you did before in the Navy with NAS Pensacola. And I know you have said that your job will, which you start September 30th, right? That's when you actually get first day on the job.
That's right.
But yeah, that's I'm right. Assuming that you're probably already in conversation with Amy Miller and you're probably already learning things to do. But basically, your first job is to get acclimated, right? And to learn and talk to people.
Yeah, I was asked during the press conference, what are my priorities? And my number one priority is to learn. Just to learn the people there, to learn what they do, to learn how they do it, what their priorities are, and how best I can help them.
So, you know, I'm a little reluctant to give advice since I don't know how to run a city and I would make a terrible executive. But here's my one piece of advice that I hope you will say, yep, I know that, I'm going to do that. Your first 2 to 3 weeks in any job is the time when you most immediately see the stuff that is, what in the world are we doing this for? and then over time, you just kind of get used to it and then you stop seeing it anymore, right? But it's that very first couple of weeks where you see all the crazy. Pay attention to what's crazy so you don't forget it so you can fix it, right?
You're absolutely right. You know, I hear it all the time. People say, well, when you come into an organization and you're in a leadership position, just sit around for 6 months and don't do anything and learn about it. And I think that's kind of nonsense. You know, if you know how an organization is supposed to run and you come in and you know things just aren't right, then you got to fix them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, then the longer they just become embedded and then you accept them. And then, you know, you just continue along the course of kind of mediocrity.
Yeah.
So I believe you start as you want to finish.
How did UWF take your announcement? Because you've only been doing that job for 2 years, a year, something like that?
Just almost three.
Oh,
three
okay, since you left. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. So my colleagues were incredibly gracious, kind, sweet. They were really happy for me because they saw it was something that I was passionate about. And the university is a... it's kind of a servant of the community. So it's a natural step for me to go from there to go from here because I'm still serving the community that UWF serves.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And then the just kind of last question I have for you is, you know, I know, of course, know your wife and I've met your kids a couple of times, but, you know, and Jen is, I mean, she's such a sweetheart, of course. You know, you did like I did. We both married up really well.
That's right.
I am assuming that since I know you to be a pretty wise man, you would never do anything that your wife's not fully on board with. She's fully on board with this and happy with the decision.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it. And I'm so very lucky to have, she's my best friend. She's my life partner. She's my soulmate. We don't do anything unless we're in full agreement together. So yes, absolutely, she supports it.
That's great. Well, any final thoughts? I mean, we're done, but any final thoughts you have for people as they're kind of, I mean, they probably already know you a lot as the former base commander, and you know they may have heard some things, and you know, you are one of those people, and I'll say it that you know. The city council doesn't have to ratify your appointment, but if they did, the vote for a 7-person council would be 23-0. you know, people would be voting with both hands and a foot because I know everybody's very excited about this acquisition. But any last thoughts from you, Tim?
Yeah, this is actually a challenge for you. And I know you're going to do this anyway. The most important thing that government can do, I think, is accountability to its citizens. And transparency, and that accountability has to be done through transparency. So you, as a friend and as one of the best news radio hosts in the country, is to hold me accountable. And I promise that I will do my best to articulate to you whatever your questions are, whatever the issues are.
Well, it's the eternal basic paradox that bad people don't want you to ask them too many questions, and the best people, you feel like, why am I bothering? but I will do my best, even though I think it, you know, you're least likely to need it. Tim Kinsella, the new city manager for City of Pensacola. Tim, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for doing this, for serving the community, continue to serve the community, for all your service to the country, sir. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, sir.